Well, this evening, we're very honored to not only have one of the three silver sponsors to be Vanna Pharmaceuticals, but also to them to have provided us with this evening's speaker. Our speaker is their Vanna Pharmaceuticals medical scientific liaison with the medical profession and in education. And she has a doctorate degree from the University of Michigan, specializing in sleep and in immunity. Put in several years in the at the National Fibromyalgia Association, and held several positions there, and has over 6 years of experience in the pharmaceutical field. She has come here this evening to give us an update on the status of the non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder and new treatment that has just been approved within the last few months. So let's give a hand to Dr. Melissa Overdodioti. I asked for her apologies before I tried it.
Thank you. Thank you, Gene, and thank you everyone for having me. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here and speak with you today. And also thank you to the California Council for the Blind to have me to speak and give me the opportunity. So my name is Dr. Melissa Olivadoti, and I work, as Gene mentioned, in medical affairs at Vanda Pharmaceuticals. And basically, I'm going to speak today about non-24 sleep-wake disorder. To give you some background about me, I have a PhD in neuroscience, just like Gene mentioned, and therefore I'm a scientist by training. So unfortunately, I'm not able to answer any questions regarding specific symptoms. However, if you have questions of that nature, I encourage you to speak with your physician. If you have specific questions about non-24, I'm happy to answer those questions at the end. We should have some time for that. I also work for Vanda Pharmaceuticals, as Gene mentioned. So just a disclaimer that my company does have a product for the treatment of non-24 that is commercially available today. But I'm only going to talk about the disease state. Okay, I'd like to start with talking about circadian rhythm, so we have a background before I jump into non-24, because non-24 is a circadian rhythm disorder. I'm sure at some point most of you have heard the word circadian before, and broken down, if you haven't, broken down, circa means about or around, and dies means day. So basically taken together, it means about a day. So that refers to the processes in our body that fluctuate throughout the day at a specific time every day. Some of you may have experienced a circadian process, like getting hungry at the same time of day. I know I can set my clock by the time my tummy rumbles at 8 a.m. And that's your way, your stomach's way of telling you that it's time to eat. So today we'll talk about what circadian rhythms are and what happens when the body's rhythm is out of alignment with the sun or the environmental day or night, such as in non-24. So circadian rhythms are built into our body and are adjusted or synchronized, so what we call synchronized, to the environmental day by certain time givers. And the primary one is daylight. It was discovered a long time ago that we have internal circadian rhythms, and that in the absence of light, that this circadian rhythm is longer than 24 hours. So light every day resets our body clock. However, if you don't have light input into your body clock, that basically your body clock shifts a little bit every day. And that's going to be dependent on your biology, how much it shifts. Some people shift by 10 minutes a day. Some people shift by up to an hour a day. So we know that there are unique cells and pathways responsible for the resetting of this circadian clock inside the brain, because we have to get light to that central part of the brain, right? So there's specific pathways and genes that are responsible for internal clocks that have been found as well. So we'll talk today about these pathways and what happens when they don't receive light cues. So like I mentioned before, our bodies run on slightly longer than a 24-hour cycle, depending on your physiology, without light. It's about 24 and a half hours on average, so 0.5 hours a day. And light's the main cue that our body uses to reorient to our environmental day. So just like our ears have two functions, we use them for hearing and balance, our eyes actually serve two functions as well. Not only do they send information on vision to our brain, but they also send information on light and darkness to reset our body clock every single day. So light travels from our eyes to the master body clock in our brain, also called the big word here, suprachiasmatic nucleus. You'll be quizzed on that later, or what we call the SCN. So whenever I say SCN, just think of master body clock, which then tells all the other clocks in our body to realign. Now, we have clocks in every single cell of our body. It's pretty interesting. And in every organ. So think of the body like an orchestra. Each cell and each organ has its own cycle, and the conductor at the front makes sure that they are all on the same timing. And that's this SCN, this master body clock. It allows us to stay aligned to the 24-hour day instead of advancing about, say, a half hour up to an hour per day. So without light input, our natural body clock timing will take over, which could mean advances of minutes to almost an hour per day. So in the brain, the master body clock controls the timing of critical important functions in the body, such as sleep, wakefulness, and mood, as well as release of certain hormones and body temperature changes. So at night, our body is trying to get ready for bed if you're entrained. And so basically darkness signals to our body for it to calm down and get ready for bed, whereas light inhibits those processes, so it helps us stay awake. So our bodies are also tuned to eat at specific times of the day and have everything calm at night. So if you force your body to do things against your natural circadian rhythm time, you may end up with problems in one or all of these systems. You may have issues with GI problems or blood pressure, things like that. So our physiology is not constant throughout the day because we have to change what we're doing, either sleep, eat, be awake, things like that. And so they're variable, but they're variable in a predictable way if you can be entrained by light. So daily cycles of behavior such as alertness, memory, mood, and core body temperature, like I mentioned before, and other hormones are also in tune with this body clock, and there's progressive changes throughout the day. Our brain coordinates this circadian rhythms of hormones, how alert we are and from our master body clock. So basically, this is located in the central part of our brain. Light information activates specialized cell in the back of the eye, in the retina, which sends signals to the master body clock to inhibit sleep. Darkness signals our body to sleep through different changes in hormones and brain activity. So signals on the time of the day from the brain are transmitted to all the other tissues in the body through hormones. And these signals act on all tissues and organs to reset these clocks in the body. So think of this like the atomic clock in Colorado resetting all the digital watches in the U.S. So in addition to light, melatonin is important in resetting our body clock and changing circadian rhythms. But light is the strongest activator. I can't say that enough. So there's certain things like birds chirping in the morning that tell you it's morning, and keeping forcing a constant bedtime are helpful, but they're not enough to reset the circadian clock in most people. That's pretty important. So even if you try sleeping the same time every night, if your body's not ready for sleep, if it's advancing every night and it's not in tune with what you're trying to do, it's going to fight you, right? So basically, if we don't have light input, our body clock takes over, and so we would advance about, say, if my body clock's about a half hour per night, tonight I go to bed at midnight. Tomorrow night I want to go to bed at 12:30. Now, basically, in 24 days from now, my body clock will be completely switched with the environmental day. That's going to be tough on me, right? So I'm going to have trouble sleeping during the night or staying awake during the day. So non-24 sleep-wake disorder occurs in the totally blind and is a circadian rhythm disorder that is due to abnormal input with a pathway responsible for resetting this clock. So basically your brain is not receiving light input. So while 924 is a circadian rhythm disorder, basically patients' sleep may suffer. So sleep complaints are one of the main symptoms, even though this isn't necessarily a sleep disorder like insomnia. So basically this means that people with a disorder will be trying to eat and sleep at times when their body clock is not aligned. So in totally blind patients, while the master body clock is intact, they cannot sense light to reset this body clock. So this wouldn't be a problem if you could set your own schedule, right, in totally blind people. But of course, people with non-24, you have families, you have jobs, you have lives, you have social commitments. And therefore, basically, people with non-24 are trying to conform to the 24-hour day and are constantly fighting their biological rhythms when they're out of alignment with the environmental day. So they may try to sleep when their body clock wants them to be awake and vice versa. So they may have problems sleeping at night, staying awake during the day, which may interfere with activities of daily living. So, So basically, when my body clock would be out of alignment, I would have problems sleeping at night. So I may have problems falling asleep, staying asleep. I may take naps during the day to catch up for lost sleep, even while I'm in phase, while I'm in alignment with the day. And so it depends on where you are in your quote-unquote cycle, whether you're in line with the day or you're, 12 hours off. That will depend on symptoms. So some people have the ability to restrict sleep during their nighttime hours, but it's something that very few people with non-24 can do because of they try to do it because of their schedules, but very few people can actually do this because it's a constant fight against their biological clock. All right. So this greatly affects normal daily function. I know if I don't get my 8 hours sleep, I'm a very grumpy goose. So I'm sure you guys know how that feels as well. So this is a serious disorder with long-term circadian rhythm implications occurring in nearly 70% of patients who are totally blind and have a sleep complaint. Yeah, 70%. That's a pretty high percentage. So the duration to fall back into alignment may be as short as 1 month or as long as a year, depending on how long your cycles are. Based on the criteria for a diagnosis, your doctor, if you go to your doctor for this, they may request that you keep a sleep log or an activity monitor. But because the prevalence is so high in people who are totally blind with a sleep complaint at 70%, it's not required for diagnosis. And many people impacted with this disorder don't even know they have this issue with their master body clock. They may have gotten diagnosed with insomnia or some other sleep problem or some other health problem. So we've heard from patients that with non-24 that have been diagnosed that there is a great deal of validation they feel when the disorder is correctly identified, because nobody wants to be falling asleep in meetings at work. You are not people who, you are very capable people. You are not lazy. Trust me, I know. So in conclusion, non-24 is a circadian rhythm disorder that is very common in totally blind patients, and because of lack of input to the master body clock with light, it doesn't reset to the 24-hour day. Therefore, the person advances a little bit every day, depending on their internal timing system, and may not be able to sleep at night, may have problems staying awake during the day. So I definitely want to thank you again for having me speak with you. I'm happy to answer questions. I'm not sure how much time we have, but there's also more information on our website. I have my cards to contact me, but also you can visit www.non-24.com to sign up for more information if you'd like more information about the treatment that's available.
Mr. Chair, Frank
Welty. Yes, Frank. Thank you, Doctor. That was most informative.
Thank you.
Of the handful of top sleep research centers or sleep clinics in the country, can you suggest what some of those are, particularly if some in that top flight handful are here in California?
That is a great question, and you guys have some of the top researchers and clinicians here. I would say the best way to find out for your local doctors would be to go to, I believe it's the American Academy for Sleep Medicine website, if you have a computer, and can look up sleep centers that are approved. And that would be a great way. These people are going to be the people that know about circadian rhythm disorders, and we're educating them as much as possible. So that's one way to find someone who's knowledgeable. If you sign up with our hub, which is the Non24 website, or the number, you may have heard our ads on radio or heard them on TV. If you sign up and give your doctor information, we will contact your doctor and talk to them about this. So that's another way to make sure that your personal doctor has information.
Doctor, you probably won't know the answer to this question, but I'm glad you mentioned those ads because I am so curious. The one I hear most says, you know, I'm a blind person. You probably don't hear blind people on the radio. And I would love to know if a blind actress was actually hired to do that ad. And if so, I'd love to know who it is. And if not, if they ever do the ad again, I hope a blind person would be hired to do ads like that. Thank you.
That is a fabulous question, and I'm happy to report that all of our ads on radio are all done by patients who have been diagnosed with Non24, and they're part of our advocacy group from Vanda Pharmaceuticals that talk to sales and marketing and other groups about their experience. So these are people who have the disorder. I believe the commercials are done by actors and actresses, but they're also all totally blind. Yeah. Yeah, we are 100% dedicated to the patient experience. We want to make sure that you get your needs met, that if you get to your doctor that they're knowledgeable and that you have everything you need to get the care that you need.
Okay.
Another question?
I have a question. Yes. To what degree does physical activity have an effect on Non24?
That is a fabulous question. So a lot of doctors may suggest that you have activity at specific times of the day, and that you have sleep at specific times, so you set a schedule, and that you have physical activity at certain time points. That is what they call a weak time giver, so it is possible to help the body, but really if you are totally blind and have no light input, it is not enough to entrain your body.
Ron Brooks? Ron, Chris, I have a question. Didn't you say that there were some recent research and breakthroughs? I didn't hear you mention that.
Oh, okay. So the recent breakthroughs kind of happened, I think, around 2005 to 2007. And in Non24, and basically it helped us understand the background biology and physiology of what cells in the eye basically cause this information to go to the brain. So we didn't know about these cells in the eye that transmit light. We always kind of knew that light does affect the master body clock, but no one up until that point knew that it was specific cells in the eye, not rods or cones, but these specific cells that can transmit light information even, without basically separate than the system that basically is used for vision. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, Bron Brooks.
Uh-huh. So just a couple of questions relating to light perception. A lot of people who are blind or visually impaired have minimal light perception. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious how much light perception is needed because I, for example, am a person with very minimal light perception, and I definitely have some, but I definitely also from time to time have different kinds of sleep disorders or mm-hmm. sleep troubles. Mm-hmm. The other question I would have is how do you distinguish between Non24 if you're a likely candidate versus some of the other sleep disorders to which any person could also be susceptible?
Those are fantastic questions. So unfortunately, I don't have a perfect answer for the first question. There is not like a threshold where it's all or none. It's kind of a sliding scale. So it would depend on how much light input gets into your brain. And unfortunately, we can't quantify that at this point in time. However, to know if you have, the important part about non-24 is that your doctor would need to rule out other sleep disorders first. So, you know, that may mean going into a sleep lab and getting diagnosed for other things. And once you're treated for those, if you still have sleep disorder problems, then basically they would consider non-24. So unfortunately, there's a little bit of legwork to do and to see if you have symptoms for other ones. If you don't, then this would be a likely candidate.
Do you have one more here, Gene? Is it? We have one more, Gene?
Could a person with a partial retina damage have these cells destroyed?
It's possible. So it would depend on where in their retina they had damage. So these cells are actually in the very front part, whereas your vision comes from rods and cones in the very back part of the retina. So it really depends on where the damage is and how extensive it is. So if the person has these type of symptoms, I would just encourage them to talk to their doctor.
Is there another question?
One more in the back.
And also to that point, I just want to reiterate, the symptoms are having trouble staying awake during the day, feeling the need to sleep, and having trouble sleeping at night.
Okay.
In different times.
I really felt that I was a candidate for the study because I had quite a bit of light perception when I was born, lost it with each child that I carried, and knew as soon as I lost enough of it that, you know, my sleep was completely disrupted. And I was told that I couldn't participate. This is embarrassing, but that I couldn't participate because I weighed too much. So does that mean the drug won't work for me if I need it?
You know, that is a fabulous question. And the thing is, how many of us actually fit into that perfect BMI that they're looking for? Not a whole lot of us, right? So basically, your body mass index in clinical studies has to be within a certain range, and that's just for clinical studies. However, your weight, you know, it shouldn't be an issue. But I apologize that you weren't able to participate. But if this is something you think you should be a candidate for, I would definitely talk to your doctor about it because, you know, just because you couldn't be in the study does not mean that you may not be a candidate. So I would definitely talk to your doctor. You should be fine.
This is Bonnie. My question really has to do with maybe a delicate one. The tasimelteon, we read something about it in the forum, so it has been mentioned. Advocating for it to get approved. I'm concerned that, especially now that I'm not working and I really know I can't afford it, I'm a total poster child for it, but I wonder, you know, you guys have got to make your money back. And the issue of cost, insurance companies approving of it, and I'm sure if they don't approve of it, we're not going to be able to afford. And I'm sure you guys thought about this before you did the research, so if you could respond to anything that you care to. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you again for that question. So the most important thing is access of care, right? That's what's going to be important to anyone who gets a script for this drug. And we understand that, you know, it can be an expensive drug. It's for a smaller population of people, about, you know, 80 to 90,000 people total in the United States. But Vanda has said again and again that they are committed to the patients, to getting them help if they need it for their copays. Okay, so we are working nonstop right now, giving presentations to organizations for insurance to make sure that people get proper coverage. And then beyond that, if you end up getting a script and call into our hub, which, you know, you'll have that information if your doctor does decide to prescribe, they will work through different pathways to make sure that you can afford your medication. The last thing we want someone to do is to get diagnosed, get that script, and then not be able to afford this important treatment. So I can't tell you numbers because it would depend on the person, but we are dedicated all the way up to the CEO. He even says this at our meetings, that he wants to make sure that anyone who gets this script can afford this medication.
Okay. How do I turn that on? Hello?
Was there one more person?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get Hello. That's a beautiful segue into my next question, because if what I'm hearing you saying, then the drug is currently available and beyond FDA trial periods?
Yes, this is correct. So we got FDA approval on January 31st, and today was the first day that it would be commercially available through a specialty pharmacy.
So with that in mind, how does people that are with HMOs like Kaiser and Blue Shield, et cetera, get them to accept providing that to us? Could you go through that again?
Yeah, no problem. So that is actually what I'm doing next week, is talking to Kaiser. So all of us on my team at Medical Affairs are working diligently to talk to these insurance companies to make sure that they have all the information they need to put that on their formulary. So if you go in and get this script, that it will be covered. That's our main goal right now. Because it's available, we want to make sure that patients can get coverage.
Okay. And I'm going to ask the last few questions. Can you tell me on your list if you have Hill's physicians? They seem to be one of the most conservative ones out here that don't like to give anything. And I would like to then approach them to see about getting for myself and others. Can you provide us with a list of publications, medical publications, that doctors would read, that we could, bibliography, I guess, that we could take to them, in addition to some of the literature you might get through when we call in, but the doctors, you know, when talk to them, I think the only way to convince them is actually seeing in a medical journal that, and that's recognized as a legit publication. Can you provide us something like that?
Absolutely. So first things first, I have these doctors on my list now. Thank you, Gene. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be somebody that I target to talk to, since mm-hmm. they're such a big provider up here. Okay. And for the information, so we don't have publications just yet on the clinical trials. Those should come out in a few months, because since it was just approved, it takes a while to get things published. So far, we have presented this information at medical meetings, but there is, if the doctor wants information, one of the ways is to refer them to our website. And that actually, there is a website just for doctors with the information that they may need. The other thing is to call Vanda Pharmaceuticals, and they can give them all the information that they require, because that would be funneled to a person like me who would go in and talk to the doctor specifically. If you end up getting a script, or even just want to call into the hub because you think you have these specific symptoms for non-24, you can consent to give your doctor's information, and we are working long and hard on this as well to contact these doctors and educate them before you go in, so that they're not blindsided, you know, like with a new medication, oh, I don't know anything about it. So there's several ways that you can get information to them via website, call into our hub, or have the doctor call Vanda.
Okay, just want to ask one more question. Okay. The other thing is, you mentioned the website for the doctors. Mm-hmm. Is that, do medical students and nursing students, can they get access to that?
Absolutely.
I talked to Sac State's nursing department, a few of their classes, and this is something they have become very interested in learning about here. So, and these are people that are going to be working with patients with it in the future. So, if so, is there a way that you could just tell us what that website address is, that so we could tell these departments?
Absolutely. So I actually have some cards with Braille on it if anyone's interested in taking this to their doctor. It's www.non-24pro.com. That is available to any healthcare provider, and it also has the number where they can reach out to our company if they have further questions. Yeah. There you go. Here. There we go. And also, if you have more questions, I'm hanging around. Okay, and I'll be hanging around afterwards, so if you have a question later or if you didn't get your question answered, I'm happy to stay here. And I also have my cards that have Braille on them as well with my contact information.
Okay. You mentioned Kaiser, and I had a really weird experience with them when I tried to get a sleep study. When I called, they seemed kind of disconnected when I told them I was totally blind, and they said, well, you come to your appointment, and we'll give you a watch, and you go home and go to sleep, and it'll tell you how many times you've breathed. And it was like, of course, it was. I mean, you know, that you had a sleep problem. And it was like... a print watch wasn't going to do me any good, and it was like the whole sleep study sounded like such a farce. And Kaiser used to hook you up to the electrodes, and they do a lot more to see what you know what kind of a sleep problem you had. But now that this test, how do you cope with that kind of thing with Kaiser? Because they just don't seem to offer what they used to offer in terms of sleep testing.
That's a fabulous question. So going back to your first question, it depends on how sleep doctors go about what they do. Sometimes they'll bring you in, say if you have one type of sleep disorder, they'll bring you in, hook you up to a bunch of things, and have you sleep in a sleep lab. If they think you have something else, they may give you what's called an actigraph, which is a little watch that shows how much activity you do when you sleep, when you're awake. So I think it's... We're hoping that we can get this through Kaiser so that they don't require any type of testing, but they may. So it will just depend on what your doctor decides to do for you and what criteria they use. So I don't have a great answer for you at this point, but all I can say is it will depend. But those the testing for that is recommended. It's not required by this diagnostic criteria. So we're hoping that based upon the diagnostic criteria that we have, you won't have to jump through those hoops, but you may, depending on your doctor, depending on your plan.
Okay, thank you. I have two very quick questions. One, how long were the clinical trials for? And two, what about side effects that came about from those?
Okay, two fabulous questions. So the clinical trials, there's several of them. We have data on over 1,600 people that have taken at least one dose of this medication. And basically almost 90 people have been on this medication for as long as a year. We also know about what happens when you go off the medication as well. And we can talk about those later once the session is over. But so there's quite a bit of data through these clinical trials. The main side effects that were found was headache, some liver enzymes that were a little bit higher, but not anything for cause for concern. Oddly, abnormal dreams, maybe nightmares, which is kind of interesting because you're finally getting that rest that you need. You're getting into that REM sleep, right? And then also some lower 5% were upper respiratory and urinary tract infections. But headache and those infections are very common in clinical trials, and the liver enzymes are very common for a drug that is processed through the liver. So there's no cause for concern for, there's no black box warning. It's a very safe medication. Thankfully, it makes my job a lot easier talking to doctors. And so the FDA didn't give us any massive warnings other than somnolence, which is basically it'll make you sleepy, which is what we hope it will do anyway. But it can take up to 3 to 4 months, maybe longer, to take effect, because we have to hit a sweet spot in your cycle where you're aligned with the day. And so that can take a while to do.
What is this medication called?
It is called Hetlioz, H-E-T-L-I-O-Z. Hetlioz. It's H-E-T-L-I-O-Z.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again. Like I said, I'll be sticking around afterwards, so if you want to ask more questions, feel free to come up. I'm up at the front. And you can call me Melissa.
Melissa.
Unfortunately, no, there are no samples. I'm sorry.
Melissa, just let me, because some people are going to probably ask, if you already maybe have been diagnosed with sleep apnea and it has gone through all the testing and it hasn't, and the CPACs don't seem to help you at all, that wouldn't negate you possibly being considered for treatment using your company's medication, would it?
No. So if you
had another diagnosis that they felt that you had, but yet you still, with all the treatment they give you, doesn't make any difference. You still have it. That wouldn't cancel you possibly considered.
Can I steal the microphone? Thank you. So this is a fabulous question. If you have another sleep disorder and they've treated it and you still are having these symptoms, if you've been treated, then they can rule it out. So that means that you may still have, you know, some problem with sleep disordered breathing at night. But if you've been treating that and you're still having these symptoms, you would be a candidate. So as long as you've been treated for your other sleep disorders, if it's not working properly, if you're still having these symptoms of falling asleep during the day and not being able to sleep at night, then you are a great candidate to go to your doctor to talk about NON24 with them.
Great. Let's give